I don't think we should ask this much, but how many people are here for the first time? Welcome. Why don't we do maybe starting on the left side here, or my left, I guess. Let's just do names really quick. You are?
Yeah. Rick.
Amy. Amanda. Yukio.
Yuji.
Becca.
Yago.
Jen.
Ted.
Christine.
Keith was home.
Gay.
Reiji.
Brett. Thomas. Donald. Has been.
Christina.
Steve.
Marion.
Lulu. Andrea. Tabern.
Josh.
Mark.
That's it. I'm looking around, I see lots of people who've been here, but how many people have attended at least one of these sessions over the last month? Awesome. Keep your hand up if you've been here for two of them, and keep your hand up if you've been here for all three. Okay, awesome. That's super helpful. Because, sadly, I'm here to say that this is the last night that we'll be discussing our Everyday Verses and Vows session. We kind of have these four sessions in May where we kind of try to pick a topic that we can cover something. So this is the last session in that. And tonight, what I want to do is I want to talk about gathas. And like the other verses that we explored, I want to explore how we can potentially use them in practice. Now, by some definitions, I would say we've probably been talking about gathas the whole time, because the word gatha is a Sanskrit word, and it actually means verse or verse of poetry. So, in some way or another, we've been talking about gathas this whole time. All the sutras, going back to the beginning of the Buddhist time, were actually created as gathas. They were... there was really no highly developed written language at the time. And so the sutras were composed in the form of gathas, and they were shared and passed on in an oral tradition. Over time, as written languages came into being, some teachings kept that original verse, that original gatha style to them, while others added prose alongside the verse. There's a particular style of verse, particular style of gatha, that I think we most associate now with the word gatha, and that's what I want to actually explore tonight. It's a kind of poetry that I think inspires wholesome intention in our practice, and it's the kind of verses that oftentimes can be easily memorized and sort of brought forward when we need support. So, some teachers and some historians point to the origin of these kinds of gathas as having come from the Dhammapada. And the Dhammapada is pretty cool because it's like the Buddha's greatest hits album. It really is. It's an anthology of the Buddha's teachings. And interestingly, they're presented actually as the answers that he gave throughout his life to the questions that he had asked. So you don't get the question, you just get the answer. So it's not frequently asked questions, it's more like frequently given answers is what you give in the Dhammapada. And it's pretty cool. Like if you were going to make a, if you were thinking of something like, what's something I could easily read kind of every day and like read a short verse, the Dhammapada is one of those teachings that can be really good for that. There's over 400 verses in the collection. I think they're divided up into 25, 26 different chapters with different topics. As I read them, I always find it interesting because you kind of almost recognize this proto version of what we hear in our teachings now. See if you can identify where this is from for folks who've been around for a little bit. This is from the Dhammapada. Renounce only evil, practice only good, keep your mind pure. Thus, all the Buddhas have taught. Kind of that first version of the three pure precepts that we talk about. Here's another one less familiar, but it's one that I sort of pulled out and I liked. Whoever lets passion aversion, conceit, and hypocrisy fall away like a mustard seed from the tip of an awl I call spiritual nature. Whoever speaks what is true, informative, and not harsh, who gives offense to no one, I call spiritually mature. So in these early teachings, the Buddha is sort of giving us guidance for how to hold our minds, hold our awareness, and how to engage in conduct that leads to suffering. But it's personally focused. It kind of has this inward focus. How should we act? What should we focus on? And that's quite common for us to see in the early Buddhist teachings. As Mahayana was developed, which is, for folks who are less familiar, there are various branches of Buddhism. Mahayana was one branch of Buddhism. It's where Zen comes from. And one of the defining features of Mahayana Buddhism is the fact that we create this intention for not just easing the suffering of ourselves, but easing the suffering of all beings. And we use the term bodhisattvas for the people who do that sort of thing. We take bodhisattva vows. And what's interesting is that Gathas kind of, as time went on and started to get picked up in Mahayana Buddhism, that intention shifted from the internal to that external, to that, hey, what might it look like for us to practice with easing the suffering of all beings? The style that where this is prominently displayed is in the Avatamsaka Sutra, or the Flower Garland Sutra. If there's some familiar, if you've heard that a little bit around here, there's been a crew of people that have been actually chanting the Avatamsaka Sutra. I think they're 2 years in at this point. They do it on Sunday mornings after our Sunday service. I think they're 2 years in, and I think they have like another year to go, something like that. Yeah, okay. The primary teaching of this sutra, and I think why it's interesting to folks in Zen, is that it's one that teaches this idea of interdependent origination. It's the idea that all beings arise kind of in each moment, and we arise with each other. We depend on each other to become who we are, literally in each moment. There's lots of different versions of this teaching, but the Flower Garland Sutra is literally this idea that each flower is beautiful and self-contained in itself, but within the garland, it also becomes something else. It's seen as something else. It's seen as complete. The individual is complete, and the complete is also made up of the individual. So it's kind of back and forth, those two ideas. So in the chapter on pure practice or pure conduct, there is a long list of gathas that bring forward that kind of interconnectedness. And each one of those gathas follows kind of the same format. And again, this might seem familiar to you, but usually you'll hear a description of some kind of daily activity. That'll be followed by some kind of, I vow with all beings, or may all beings, may with all beings something happen. And then there's some kind of intention about how one might deepen their practice and relieve suffering. So for example, when washing the hands with water, may we with all beings have pure, clean hands to receive and hold the Buddha's teaching. The instructions go on and on and on. There's instructions about washing and dressing and sitting and rising, using the toilet. Each gatha reminds us that when we engage in these activities, these small activities, that we are doing them in conjunction with, in the service of all beings, all beings. When it's time to sleep and rest, I vow that sentient beings will be peaceful and secure in their bodies, and not be moved or confused in their minds. Taking something small, something that we do all the time, and connected to something that's much bigger, something that connects all of us together. So as Buddhism spread with Chan in China and Zen in Japan, there got to be kind of this, or there is this particular emphasis on seeing in any given moment what is common and relative, but also extraordinary, almost beyond what we can possibly put our minds on. And gathas do such a wonderful job of connecting these two. They connect these small little things, more enormous, huge things. Some of you might remember Flying Fish. She was talking a few years ago. And I was talking, exchanging emails with her today, and she said, they're sneaky, these gathas, they're sneaky deep. And so with gathas, there's this sense that during this activity, during this small thing, there may be all these other things that are happening at the same time. And Dogen, who's the founder of Soto Zen, the kind of Zen that we practice here at this temple, he liked these gathas too. And he would pick them up and write commentary on them, in particular the Avatamsaka Sutra. So I'm going to read a small section from something that he wrote about it. And he, yeah, I'm just gonna, here's the section from the Pure Practice chapter that features. He writes, in the Pure Practice chapter of the Flower Garden Sutra, it is said, doing what is needed to relieve myself, I pray all living beings may be rid of filth and pollution and free from lust, anger, and delusion. Having finished going for water, I pray all living beings may approach the unsurpassed way and attain the supramundane dharma. Using the water to wash away filth, I pray all living beings may be endowed with pure patience and be, in the end, without impurity. And small thing, I wish it for all beings, and that there's just something else that happens as a result of that teaching. This is from a fascicle from an essay he wrote called Senjo, and Senjo means washing and purifying. So he kind of spends the entire essay looking at different ways that we wash things and purify things. So that's the gatha. And here's what he says next. And for those of you new or old who aren't familiar with Dogen, we will offer a couple of Dogen warnings. Dogen sometimes is a little opaque, sometimes a little recursive, sometimes a little philosophical. And that's because he's attempting to describe something that is really, really hard to express in words. So maybe with a deep breath and to hark back to one of our prior classes, Mind Like the Sky, I'm going to read to Dogen's description and talk about it a little. He says, and I'm going to read the last section of that, the last gatha, because he's really keying in on that. Using the water to wash away filth, I pray all living beings may be endowed with pure patience and be in the end without impurities. That's what he writes. Water is not necessarily intrinsically pure, nor is it intrinsically impure. The body is not necessarily intrinsically pure, nor is it intrinsically impure. All dharmas are also like this. Water is neither sentient nor insentient. The body is neither sentient nor insentient. All dharmas are also like this. The teachings of the Buddha, the world-honored one, are also like this. However, it is not that we use water to purify the body. Rather, in maintaining the Buddha Dharma, by by means of the Buddha Dharma, there is this rite called washing and purifying. So there's two things I would offer. I think the first thing I would offer is he's telling us to be careful of labels. He's telling us to be very careful of saying, this is this and that is that. The minute that we start doing that, we get ourselves into trouble. So he's saying, don't. I think he kind of keys in on that from that off of the word pure, what we think our beliefs are, what things are pure and things are impure. So he's saying, be very careful of those labels and how we apply those. Sentient and sentient. And he says that, to that first line again, water is not necessarily intrinsically pure, nor is it intrinsically impure. All things, so like this, all things that are true are like this. There's this variability. There isn't any one thing that's like this or one thing that's like that. Depends on condition, depends on all sorts of things that arise within any given moment. I think the first part of it is mostly just be careful those categories and labels, and often when we start dividing things up in our mind, usually we're creating some situation where we get ourselves into trouble, we can fix up either for ourselves or for someone else. And the second part where he says, however, it is not that we use water to purify the body, rather maintain the Buddha Dharma by means of the Buddha Dharma. That's this right, which is called washing and purifying. So he's using very Zen kinds of language here. If I were to interpret this, what I keep thinking about is this idea that if we're fully involved in some kind of activity, really any kind of activity, the example of washing hands, or fully involved in that activity, it's that activity that allows all the other things to arise. If I go back to some of the verses that we've studied prior to now, wrapping ourselves in the Buddha's teaching, we free all living beings. Wrapping ourselves in the Buddha's teaching to free all living beings. What that might sound like is, if I do this one thing, there's this other thing that happens. It's just kind of cause and effect. And I think what Dogen's getting at in that phrase is that those things are happening at the same time. When we wrap ourselves in Buddha's teaching, we're freeing all living beings. That is naturally happening. Those are the same, they're one and the same. For the sake of enlightenment, we now receive this food. The same thing again. It's this, by receiving the spoon, we are also doing it, but it's not one thing or another thing. It's these two things happening together. Yeah, okay, we're already good. Yes, we need the microphone. Janko wants in. Love it.
Hi, this is the Janko. You know, this reminds me, there's a line in Suzuki Roshi's Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind, where he talks about, we don't clean the bathroom to get the bathroom clean. We clean the bathroom because it's a good thing to do. And that's what this is reminding me of. Like, oh, maybe he read this. I remember thinking, what is that about? But I think this is getting at exactly what you're talking about.
That there's reason to do things that are beyond the reason itself, that all things.
Yeah.
That when we bring that full attention to it, we bring it with all the other stuff, that there's all these other things that arise out of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that. Thank you. So, here's what I want to do tonight. I want to write some gothics. That's what I want to do. I want all of us to write some gothics. So, what I have here, and Christine, could you help me in the meantime? What I have is I have a handout and a take home tonight for all of you. And what we have is a list of gothics. that actually were used at Minnesota Zen Center. These are from Flying Fish, for those of you who practice here at Bellmarine. And she said these were literally hung up all over the building. These were hung up in the bathroom, in the kitchen, and these are things that were practiced with quite actively. I gave them all away. Working at my desk, I breathe in, I breathe out, relaxing the body and bringing attention to the task. Thank you. What's out of your Okay, so I'm sending the homeless and goblins. And if you notice, there is two blank spots on the back of the page. I would like for you to write some goblins. We also got to do So to help with this process a little bit, remember, I have lots of examples on the page here, but think of this wonderfully small task you could think of. This small action could be anything, right? It could be brushing your teeth in the morning. It could be when I bow to the cushion here. It could be when I step onto the ground. It could be something that you think of and do that you could add intentionality to, right? Then that next line is going to be something about feel like we're doing adverts. Dharmic adverts. I vow with all being, or may I live all being. That can be a really great second. I vow with all being. And then what's that deeper intentional practice that you want to connect to that small thing? What's the big thing that you want to connect to that small thing you need better? Mm-hmm. Get back together and share with them. Okay, what I'd love for you to do, this feels like a good exercise to actually pair up with people and share with them. So, look around a little bit and pair up with somebody you haven't paired up with yet. Or maybe somebody you don't know, if you're some of the newer folks here. Yeah, take a few minutes to share and then we'll come up to you.
Thank you. Are you always focused to be the God in the
Okay. It's the fact of my This is my last thing, but I was thinking about my own toes. That's only the ball. That's the ball. That's all the news for that. My body. No, it's down. That's all part. I'm shocked by the news. 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 And I've got like 20 minutes, you know, and I'm like, okay, I've got to drive home. Oh, slow down, here, drive faster. But there's something so Bodhisattva-like about it, too. It's like, you know, clear. Oh, now, you have responsibility. Yes, I do.
That's a great question. Yes.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to need that microphone. I'd love to hear some gatha. I'm going to start lifting my glass of water. I vow with all beings to quench desire that harm love.
Say the last one.
Sure. Lifting my glass of water, I vow with all beings to quench desires that harm others.
Who would like?
Yeah.
Who would like to follow that?
Eating my cats, I give thanks to all beings that nourish us. May all beings realize their perfectly pure nature.
What we're going to do is let's just pass the microphone. If you'd like to share, feel free. If not, just pass it to the next person. Like that I do.
And with making tea, when making and drinking tea, I focus on my actions. I put care in every pore and appreciate the warmth and aroma and beauty of the tea.
Walking into my ship, I open the door to wonder. May this experience nourish connection and embrace those with loneliness in their hearts. Stillness. When sitting in stillness, may all beings be free from anxiety and pressure, allowing the opportunities to bring peace be found. Drinking water. As I take a sip of my water, I envision the water roaring through rivers and trickling through creeks, nourishing all beings through mind and body. May all beings have a spirit touched by the eternal flow.
Petting the cats, I vow to use gentle hands and words. All living beings may be relaxed and calmed by one another.
Standing in the shower, I notice the water cleansing, like the purity that comes when we rinse with zazen.
Yeah.
As I cover my eyes to sleep, may I be at ease with all beings in the darkness of non-identity and non-attachment.
Walking the dog as he walks me too, I vow to migrate with all beings, open-minded and bodies purposeful.
Beholding all beings, I vow to never abandon. When my mind meets them thus, a gentle heart is there. Dog allergies. Early morning with groggy eyes, for a wagging tail, I cut short roll. I vow to continue this practice to soothe the body, calm the mind, to aid he who can give nothing back but compassion.
When using the weed worker, I vow with all beings to cut through delusion and embrace the vastness of my life.
Answering email, may all beings receive the love and compassion of the Buddha way.
Taking out this trash, I vow to maintain care and clarity of my surroundings and to others, so that we may persist without the clutter that clouds the mind in our spaces.
Holding my pet's paws, may all beings feel held. Releasing their paw, may the warmth of connection still be felt.
Morning. I pet the cats on the bed and then go downstairs. They follow expecting love and then their breakfast. Caring for my family, both feline and human, nourishes me, fills my heart with joy.
Waking in the morning, may I with all beings wipe the night and its dullness from our eyes to see the world new as it is.
Washing dishes and rinsing them well, I vow to appreciate having food to eat. When the dishes are clean, we can now see in them the abundance of a sharing heart. diaper change, wiping, folding, wrapping. I vow to help all beings until they can help themselves.
Morning coffee. As I sip my morning coffee, may all beings feel the world around them with openness, love, and quiet attention. Clearing weeds in my garden. Clearing weeds in my garden. I bring forth new life for the big and the small, all the plants in my garden.
Leaving the house to walk my dog, I vow to stay present in our steps so that we can treasure the magic of the time we have together.
Driving my car, may I, together with all beings, be steadfast and considerate of all the beings around me.
Stretching. Sleep and age, I enter with each breath as I relax into each movement. May I realize the potential of being one.
I think there's nothing else that needs to be said. Thanks a lot for coming tonight.